Let the church say, amen. Amen. I have been redeemed. Yes, certainly is a true saying. Yes. But God is good. And all the time, God is good. Don't make me wait to hear you say that when in the Sunday mornings I stand up here. You know I'm going to say it. So just be ready to say it with me. Before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, how blessed are we today, Father, for you have given us an opportunity to see this brand new day. Unlike yesterday and unlike tomorrow, for we will never see this day again. We're so thankful for your kindness, your presence, your grace, your mercy, your love, your compassion, and everything, every blessing that you give unto us. Father, we pray this morning for those who are here, and we pray for those who may not be here but may be on their way. We pray that they may make it here safely and securely. We pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning. We just pray that they might be with us at the next appointed time. We pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the members of this congregation. We pray for all of those who have lost loved ones, especially those in this congregation. Father, we pray for the brother-in-law of Brother Michael Sherrill, who has been diagnosed with leukemia. We just pray that he might be healed, Father, that you might touch him with your finger of healing. If not, Father, let your will be done and give the family strength to bear whatever your will might be. Father, we pray this morning and ask you to bless each and every member here this morning. We pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the weather that we have outside. We had an awful lot of rain and would do for more rain, and we just pray and thank you for the rain because the rain grows our food. It grows the flowers and it greens up the grass, but Father, we just thank you, and it gives us water to drink. We thank you for everything you do for us, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent down to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We thank you, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into these services, we pray for all those who have taken part thus far in these services, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We ask you, Father, to bless us all, be with us all, be with our service people who are serving in other parts of the world, those who are serving at home, those who are serving around the world. We just pray for their safe return, that they may be with us once again real soon. We thank you, Father, for the parents who are raising their children, especially those mothers who are trying to do the best that they can. We thank you, O Lord, and we ask you to be with them and give them strength and courage and wisdom to bear, O Lord. Father, we thank you for each and every member here this morning once again, and we're just so thankful to be here. As we left our house to make our way to your house, we're so thankful. We're thankful, Father, for the leadership here and their families as well. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 28 through verse 30. Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." So he said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." This morning, we're going to talk for a few minutes about it pays to serve Jesus. Everyone who works expects at some point in time to be paid. We hear people complaining all the time about how they don't make enough to make ends meet or how their take-home pay won't take them home. Yet they keep on working with the hope that one day things will get better. Christians understand what it means to wait because they understand that payday is coming soon. To a non-believer, we are waiting on that. To the non-believers who are waiting on that which may seem to them will never come, and some even say that we are wasting our time serving our Lord, whom we cannot see, waiting for a day that they can't believe is ever coming. But as long as we trust and believe in Him, we know that there is hope, hope of eternal life and of that big payday, so we continue to serve Him. That's what the job of a Christian is to serve Him. Many people are in financial or going through financial troubles in this day and age. Their income is not meeting their needs. Some may be out of work. Their unemployment compensation is about to run out, and the bills are piling up. Well, I'm here to let you know that there is a man who has, through His word, teaches us that He will supply all of our needs. I was reading through my Bible and I came up on Philippians 4:19, where it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If we would but serve Him, He has plenty of riches. He can do this if we allow Him to be our God. We can notice a couple of the many promises He has made to us and to those who would serve Him. In Matthew chapter 6, verses number 33, He told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things, somebody might ask? Well, read chapter 6 of the book of Matthew on your own, and you'll see what he's talking about. Notice how this promise applies to those who seek first the kingdom of God. God has been in the promise business a long time. He knows how it works. He knows when to work it. But let us go way back, and we see what he told Joshua in Joshua 1 and 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." As far back as the Old Testament times, God has reminded us to study His word in order to that we may find out what He wants us to do. And then we are to do it. Then comes the prosperity and the success. But we got to do something to obtain this prosperity and this success. That is to serve Him. That is to get into your Bible and study your Bible. We've got to learn that the Bible is not an ornament on a coffee table. I've said it before, because you have a Bible sitting in your house on your coffee table does not mean that you read it or that you study it. It may be just sitting there to look good to visitors in your house who come into your house. But the Bible is meant for us to study. It's meant for us to read and to learn from and to learn to do and obey the Word of God. It pays to serve Him. As believers, we all should know by now that we are not exempt from sickness, disease, accidents, and tragedies of all sorts. But we serve the God who is able to give us an abundance of what we might need. Whatever we lose or give up or abandon to serve God, He will make it all the better. Whatever we have or will give up to serve our God is for the better. Notice verse number 28 there that I just read for you, but I'm going to read it again. Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." But Jesus answered him in verse number 29 and verse number 30. He said to them, "Assuredly I say it to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God." Now this is the part I want you to notice, church, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. God has something for us here on earth as well as in the eternal life ever after. What we leave behind, we shall receive more through the comforts and the grace of God. Consider, if you will, as a savings account that pays interest. You give a little, the bank gives you a little more, and you wind up with more than you started with. Isn't that right, church? God will give us much greater than what we give him, but we must continue to serve him. Even when we are sick and broken, if we just don't give up, our God won't give up on us. We all know Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 6 through 8. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in our own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from. It shall be health as to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. In other words, trust in God to give us direction. Don't try to outthink him. Some folk try to outthink God. Don't try to be wiser than the Almighty. Serve him in the manner he asked of us, and it shall be health for us, healthy for us. I understand that many of God's people are sick. Many have broken bodies. Many have ruptured body parts. I believe that some could have fared a little better in life if they only had served God the way he wants us to. You remember each and every Lord's Day when we come to the communion table. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11, some have not understood the body and the blood of Christ, which is why we are told, let a man examine himself before he accepts the Lord's Supper. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy may cause himself sickness or death. This is why we must serve the Lord with our physical self as well as our spiritual heart, that we may be an example for others to see. We lead by our actions. We must be sure our heart is right with God. It pays to serve God eternally. As we serve God, we are laying up treasures in heaven. Remember, a few moments ago I mentioned about this bank account and how it adds up because of the interest factor. Well, when we serve the Lord, we are working on our eternal account. The scripture teaches us not to lay up treasures for yourselves upon this earth in Matthew 6. But instead, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. I would like for us to understand something here. The Bible is not teaching us that we should not put away for a rainy day. Instead, what it is telling us is not to count what we have more importantly than our serving the Lord. Besides, the treasures of heaven are safer with God than any earthly treasure or any other earthly bank. Matthew 6 and verse 21 brings it on home. It tells us where our treasures are, our heart will be also. So serving God puts our heart with him. Having our treasures here on earth will cause our heart to be on earthly things. You know, we live in a mean and a rough world. I say this almost every Sunday. Storms are brewing on every corner and everywhere you look. So I ask the question this morning. This is a dangerous world we live in. And we're living in stressful times. How many more teary-eyed grandmothers can we look at sobbing about their grandchild? Or how many more grieving mothers do we need to see before I pull the plug on watching the evening news? Every night is a repeat of the night before. How many more homes will be broken up? How many more young school children will be put in adult situations because of the loss of their schoolmate and friends? These should all be lessons for all of us to learn. To learn we need to serve the master who doesn't use violence, and Jesus doesn't have a concealed carry permit. His weapons of choice are love, forgiveness, and mercy. When we serve the Lord, we can seek forgiveness. Through His love, He will forgive us. And through His great mercy, He will have compassion on us. God told the people of long ago what to do in their times of trouble. And I like to use this scripture because this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will heal their land. Oh, God can heal the land, church. How many times are we going to hear in the span of 12 hours, 7 or 8 young men killed, or 7 or 8 young ladies killed, or a mix, a combination of such? How many times must we hear this on the news? I'm ready to stop watching the news about now. But I tell you something. I know a man that can heal all of the problems of this land. I know a man who can get us through our storms. And I know a man who can handle the storm. Number one, he will speak to the storm. He will speak to us in the storm. He will speak to the storm itself. I know He can handle any storm that we may have in this life. Do you have a storm this morning that you are going through? And I like to tell everybody, you're either just coming out of a storm, you're just getting ready to go in a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm right now. Storms come in our lives, and storms will be there, and you need to understand who can handle the storms for you, because we can always handle our own storms. The storms of life blow. The storms of life will continue to blow. Who can make that kind of claim that they can heal our land but God? We need to turn this world, this country, this state, this city, and ourselves over to serving God. I believe we need to go back to the old ways of serving God. Now somebody might say, well, what are the old ways? That means to put Him first in all things. And our God can fix it for us. If we just trust in Him, learn to accept that God is not out of place, and that we need to return to our place, which is the church. I hear people sometimes say things like, I used to go to church. Church should never be a place you used to go to. Church should be the place you go to now. It should be the go-to place. Because church is where you come together with your brothers and your sisters. And you know, I found something out about church, coming to church. When you come to church, you have the power of many prayers that can go up on your behalf. See, I may not be able to get a prayer through for you, but somebody in the congregation can get a prayer through for somebody. So when we come collectively together and pray to God, we can get our problems answered and our questions and our issues taken care of, because God is able. You see what He said again in verse number 29. Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall, verse 30, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. God is able, church. But if we just learn to serve Him, and serving Him means coming to church. Not every other Sunday, not every second Sunday, not every fifth Sunday, but every Sunday. coming to church to meet with your brothers and your sisters to be a part of the worship service. Now, I'll tell you now, I may as well throw this out there. When you come to church, you come in the auditorium. Sitting on the back row is not being in church. It means you are at church. You need to come into the auditorium. What if my speaker goes out and you can't hear me on the outside? Then you start concerning yourself about what is the preacher talking about. Well, you need to be inside because everybody can hear me on the inside. Now, I know there are legitimate reasons for someone to be in the nursery. A nursing mother or a parent can be in the nursery. That's one thing. But to sit yourself out there, I'm not talking about you, Brother Hill. But I just want everybody to know that being in church means you are in the auditorium. Thank you, Brother Miles. In the sanctuary is a better word. But when you get to church, leave your iPhone, your cell phone, your iPods, iPads, turn them off. And put yourself into the hands of the mighty, almighty God. God does not make telephone calls. He doesn't text. And he doesn't send emails. So while you're here, just concentrate on serving him while you're here. And I don't preach that long. You'll be out in a few minutes. I'll be done and the message will be yours. But you got to get on in church. Now, I was joking with Brother Hill. Brother Hill has a legitimate reason. He does the counting. So he has a reason to be out there on assignment. There you go. But when I think about it, if I told you I go to church every Sunday, I just don't go in the auditorium. Well, can you really say that you were at church, or were you just in church, or at church, rather? You ought to learn that serving God is not a halfway or a part-time affair. It's a full-time job, and it is a job. Thank you, Brother Miles. And you need to be in the auditorium so you can serve him in spirit and in truth. I go to church every Sunday, somebody said. But where do you sit when you get in church? Now, I prefer to sit on the back row when I come to church, and that's just a personal preference. Because I can see all what's going on in front of me. Brother Jackson, when he's teaching Bible class, he can see all what's going on in front of him. So I like to sit in the back so I can survey the situation. So I have a reason why I sit in the back. It's not just because I'm falling asleep. And you know, sometimes I know the preacher might put some of you to sleep. I know that sometimes your medication kicks in. Because most of us are on meds. And when those meds kick in, your eyelids get heavy. But you can't serve God asleep. You got to serve God awake so that you can be in the Spirit. And I'm telling you something this morning, church. When you come to church, when you get to the front door, push him back. Push him behind you. Tell him, I came in to serve God. I'm not taking you in with me. You're not riding my coattail. I'm here to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Leave all your baggage outside the door. It'll be there when you get back. He ain't going nowhere, especially if he thinks he can work on you. You know who I'm talking about, who the he is. When church is over, he'll be standing right there to attach to your coattail or your dress tail all over again. So what are you saying? I'm saying that we need to serve God. We need to turn this world back over to God. God is in charge of all of these things, and God can fix all of these things. God can take care of all this stuff that we're going through. Yes, He can do it, and He will do it if we but just learn to serve Him and follow Him and trust in Him. And you know, I asked myself this question before. If I can't trust in the Lord, who then can I trust in? Ask yourself that same question. Who can you trust in if you don't trust in the Lord? Because the Lord can make a way out of no way. Do you remember the Jews when they were coming to the bank of the Red Sea? There was no way for them to get across. But who made a way for them to get across and through and over the Red Sea? God did. He made a super highway in the middle of the ocean. There was no highway, but God made a way for them to walk through. And guess what? They walked through on dry land, not wet water, not wet mud, but dry land. God can make a way. And we talked about it this morning. I'm going to repeat some of it. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king said, heat the furnace, put the furnace on fire, put fire in the fire, 7 times hotter than what it normally is. Now, I don't know how you can determine how much 7 times hotter is, but he wanted the fire to burn them up, didn't he, church? Oh, yes. But when they put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, all of you that were here in Bible class know the story. But anyway, I'm going to go through it again. He put them in the fiery furnace, didn't he, church? And they didn't get burnt, did they, church? Somebody said, we put 3 in there, but I see 4 in there now, walking around. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying, when you trust in the Lord and serve God, you'll be all right. No man can pluck them out of my hand, Jesus said. So learn to serve the Lord. And I know that my time is about up. But I'm going to say Brother Hillen came alive for us back. All right, Brother Hill, that's all right. When you serve the Lord, good things happen to us. Good things can happen to us when we serve the Lord. Good things don't happen to us when you serve you know who. He'll make you think good things are happening to him. See, because he shows you that grass is greener on that other side. He shows you that the water is higher on the other side and more of it. He shows you how much you can have if you just serve me. And you know what? It's the oldest trick in the book. But many are still falling for it. They're falling for it because most of us are looking for something for nothing. But in order to have something, you got to serve something. And the only thing I know that we can serve is Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord, and He'll make everything all right. I remember one time, he stopped in at a wedding at Cana in John, in the book of John. And somebody said, let him make some wine. Make some wine. We ran out of wine. Now I know all of you can appreciate wine. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but you know what I'm talking about. There you go. So when Jesus told the servants to get the water pots, fill the water pots, and he made wine, and it was the best wine that they ever had. Although most of them were already drunk. He made them wine out of water. That was my first miracle. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that somebody that can take water and make wine is able to take your troubles and make them unnecessary for you. He can resolve any issue that you may have. And I came to church this morning. I wasn't feeling my best this morning. But I tell you something. When I got here, I looked up on the face of some of you and I said to myself, these are my brothers and my sisters. I'm doing all right this morning. And I got better. I prayed while I was sitting on that back row that I tell you I looked over and I can see everything. I would also pray from that back row. And I prayed and I started to feel better. And that's why I'm up here still so long this morning, because I feel better. But I'm not going to keep you because I feel better, because you might not feel good. So all I'm saying to you, church, is if you got to serve somebody anyway, let it be the right somebody. And that's Jesus Christ. Somebody said one time to me, I don't know how to serve the Lord. Well, open your Bible. It'll tell you how to serve Him. It says serve Him in spirit and in truth. And somebody else will say, well, I've tried that. Maybe you didn't try it long enough. You've been out there so long that you forgot what it feels like to be here on the inside. But once you get on the inside, it may not happen the first time you come on the inside when you haven't been for 20 years. You got to give it an opportunity for God to work. God does not drop everything for us. He'll drop everything that you, he'll fix everything that you ask Him to fix, but he works in His own time. And because your watch says time, doesn't mean it's time for God to work. So what are you saying, preacher? All I'm saying is simply this. We've got to serve God in order to fix our situation that we're in. In order for us to enjoy, you know, they say, you hear people say from time to time, let's go back, what happened to the good old days? And sometimes you question that statement, because what are the good old days? Maybe the only thing good about the old days is that they're old. But I say that we need to serve God in the old-fashioned way. That means putting Him first, praising His name. And what does that mean? Well, that means Sunday morning. Don't let anybody else get in your way of coming to church. Don't let anything get in your way of coming to church. Lay your clothes out on Saturday night. Get your shoes ready on Saturday night. Get your shirt and tie and your dress and your slip and all the stuff you need. Get it ready on Saturday night. Yeah, pre-cook your food if you want to, Brother Miles. Don't let nothing get in your way of getting here on Sunday morning. And then, I may as well say it, your clock. Don't look at it because it says 7:30, think I got two more hours before I need to leave. Consider that your two-minute warning, if you will. Consider that time to get ready so I can get out of the house on time. Somebody spoke to me this morning about the 11:30 Christian. You don't want to be that. That's not what you want to be. If I don't get here to 11:30, well, think about it for a minute. What if the preacher showed up at 11:30? You'd all be standing at the back door. I wonder where Brother Carter's at. I wonder if he's going to make it this morning. Let me call him. I can see Brother Jackson texting me right now. Are you coming? Looking for me. But so you get yourself together on Saturday night. Now, if you get up on Sunday morning and you just don't feel like you can make it, that's one thing. But if you can possibly make it, you learn to serve God the way He wants us to serve Him. And do you remember when the ladies went to the tomb? What does it say? They got up early. You need to be at church early. Now, I'm not talking about those of you who come in at 5 minutes after 10. I'm talking about those who come in at 10:30. Or 11:30, same thing. Because I don't want to go to Bible class this morning. I'm just going to service this morning. Now, I'm not talking about anybody, so don't nobody think he must be talking to me. Well, if I stepped on your toes, it wasn't on purpose. Put them up under the chair, up under the seat. So you get here and you be here on time, and then you don't have to ask nobody nothing. What is he talking about? I just got here. Well, I've been here, and so don't disturb me because you just got here. So you get everything lined up decently in order on Saturday night. Then while Brother Jackson is up here on his little podium going through the lesson, you'll know what he's talking about if you get here at 10 o'clock. And if you get here at 11:15, Brother Carter's usually up by then, you'll know what he's talking about. And he's not going to keep you long like he said earlier. He's not going to keep you long at all. Because I know you have something else to do and some other place to go. But nothing is as important as this place, getting to this place, and staying with this place. And I know what some of you say, well, this place may not be right. I'm going to find me another church. Well, I got some news on that front, too. I may as well just get it all out while I'm here. When you leave this place and go to that other place, you're going to find some of the same problems at that place as the problems that you left at this place. And if it's not the same problem, it's going to be a different set of problems. Because you know why? Because we're all people. And we all have some of the same characteristics. Some are worse than others, some are better than others. And if you don't like what the preacher is talking about, open your Bible, see if he's talking from the Bible. If he's talking from the Bible, then you shouldn't have a problem with him. If he's trying to teach you, you shouldn't have a problem with him. Now, I know that there are some preachers that are more fiery than others, and that's okay. We need that independence, that each one be his own person, his own preacher. Now, there you go, his own personality, if you will. Now, just like none of us usually dressed alike, if we come in with the same outfit on, somebody going to say to the other one, did I call you last night? But no, you didn't. I just happen to be dressed in the same color that you are wearing. But nevertheless, we need to focus on God. Focus on the Lord and serving Him in spirit and in truth. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say this morning because I think I've stepped on enough toes. So with that, somebody may ask, how do I serve God? Well, you come to Him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And to all of those of us who did it a long time ago, but somewhere we walked astray, we come back home by asking the Lord for forgiveness and stand before the church and let the church know that I need your prayers to help me to move on along and get myself together. The church will pray for you and with you, and if you want them to, with you. If that be your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 23, all things are ready.